Welcome to the Ideal Investor Show. This is the podcast where we help you challenge your mindset and discover where you are. Tired of stories about other people's success? We can help you change your life, determine your time freedom point, and join us on the journey to financial success. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Nice to have you back to the show. And today I want to kind of pretty sure you've probably gotten sick and tired of me to talk about, you know, what's the best time to invest in residential real estate. And I always said, well, the best time was 20 or 25 years ago, and the second best time is now. And I know this is like a cheeky saying, a statement, but it is true. It still is true. But it's one thing when I'm saying this and when I'm quoting an old saying that people that have been in real estate forever have always been saying. But now I also want you to be aware that there is some kind of like more empirical evidence. So first I want to mention Blackstone is the largest holder of capital for investment purposes in the world. So it's the biggest organization. And obviously, they have money that is entrusted to them from pension funds and 401k plans and stuff like that. That's who they're working with. That's kind of the scale that they're working with. And they constantly have to look at what is a good place to put our clients' money into so that it performs well. Because everybody wants to invest their money for good performance and profits. With Blackstone, it's just on an absolutely astronomical scale compared to what you and I can do personally. Now, on the other hand, when Blackstone does something, especially when they do something on a big scale, then it gives a signal. And here's what has happened just recently. Blackstone bought an organization called Apartment Income REIT. It's basically a real estate investment trust, an organization that collected money from investors to buy apartment complexes and then basically gave investors money out of the performance, out of the rent income of the apartment complexes. People made cash on cash return on the investment that they gave to this organization, but they also manage these apartment complexes. So the company's abbreviation that the name everybody knows in the industry is called AIR, A-I-R. And they specialize in huge apartment complexes, but for high-end apartments with like luxury amenities and stuff and like high-end management and amenities like pools and country club-like settings and stuff like that. So just to give you an idea, the average rent in their apartments is $2,700 a month. So that's pretty substantial. And you can also imagine that their apartment complexes, their high-end apartment complexes, are in expensive locations. So it's not just that their apartments are so expensive and so amazing, but it's also where they are located. As you know, in real estate, location is always one of the big, big players for price. So $2,700 a month in rent is the average for these apartment complexes. And the people that actually live in these apartment complexes on average make more than $200,000 a year in salary. So it's really the high end of the market. Blackstone has bought this company, AIR, for $10 billion. And that's why I said, you know, when they buy something like that in cash, now it's not Blackstone's cash, it's the investors' cash that they are supposed to put to work. So they bought this company, AIR, with these high-end apartments for $10 billion. What I want you to understand why this is relevant and why this puts a signal, when they were interviewed and asked, why are you buying these apartments, this company AIR, with all their apartments now? And the people from Blackstone said, well, in this particular case, we saw an opportunity to buy it because we believe that the price is relatively seen low for where it could have been even just a few years ago. And I want to explain to you, why are they saying this? You may have heard in the news that commercial real estate is really, really hurting. That's why I'm always smiling to know that we are in residential real estate. And you might say, well, hey, Axel, what are you talking about? Apartments are residential real estate, aren't they? Well, not really. The U.S. government draws a line and says, okay, what we consider residential, for which residential real estate rules apply, is anything like a single-family home, a duplex, triplex, or fourplex. As soon as you have a facility that has 5, 6, 10, 100, 500, 1,000 units, and you may have seen if you're in a bigger city, really, really large apartment complexes or condo complex, that's considered commercial residential real estate. And why is that relevant? The biggest difference, without going into too much detail, is when you buy a house in any kind of location, a single family house, a residential real estate single family house, regardless whether you buy it for yourself or as an investment, the price for the house is determined by an appraiser, because that's the person that gets sent by the bank or by the lender to say, how much is this really worth? Axel wants to buy it for $150,000. Is it really worth $150,000? Because we only want to give him the loan for the mortgage if it's really worth what he's paying. So the appraiser comes, looks at the house, goes through the house. But here comes the thing. Now, after he or she has looked at the house and taken pictures and so forth, they now go and do an analysis of what other houses in about a mile or two radius have been on the market in the last 6 to 12 months, and how much have they sold for. And what ends up happening is that they do a comparative analysis. They compare the house I want to buy to all the houses of similar size and age and so forth, and say, okay, is this really worth $150,000 in the neighborhood? And the answer is yes or no, and the number is, and I always hope it's slightly more than what I would be willing to pay. Now compare this to commercial residential. Let's say next to the house that I want to buy for $150,000 is a 20-unit apartment complex that's there for sale for $1.5 million. Now, would they send an appraiser? No. The way that somebody can say, okay, I want $1.5 million for this apartment complex is by showing how much rent are you actually generating per year. And how many expenses did you have per year? How much multiple are you willing to apply, right? So let's just say the apartment complex has $2,000 rent per apartment and you have 20 of those, right? So that's $40,000 a month times 12 is $480,000 a year. And then if you want to sell it for $1.5 million, you're basically saying, okay, $480,000, I want four multiple, that gets you to the 1.5 million. And the question is, are you willing to pay the 3 or 4 multiple? And if you say, okay, this apartment complex there with its 20 units is about 15 or 20 years old, and it makes $2,000 rent per unit, but if I renovate the apartments, I can get $3,000 per unit, well, then the calculation gets better and you increase the value by that. But what you can see is had nothing to do with other apartment complexes in the area, has nothing to do with a comparative analysis, has only to do with how much money comes in from rent and how much money goes up and out to maintain it. Totally different to residential. So that's the core difference between residential and commercial. And oh, by the way, for an office building, it's the same thing. It's like the office building is rented to companies. How much rent do these companies pay? How much expenses does it cost to run this building as an office building? That gives profit margin. And then how much is the multiple? That's how you come with these huge New York City sky rises. They are like 100, 200, 300 million in value because they have like 5,000 units. And obviously office space is more expensive than residential space. But it's all commercial. So now that you understand the difference between residential and commercial, the question is, how is this relevant for BlackRock to say, a Blackstone to say, we spend $10 billion and we think this is a good price? Well, the difference in commercial is that you cannot get a 30-year mortgage. You get something like a 5 or 7 or at the very most a 10-year mortgage. And all these, like I said, this is a 15-year-old as an example, 15-year-old apartment complex. They may have had the third go, like they got the first loan and it reset 5 years later, and then they got the next loan and reset another 5 years later, and then they got the loan that resets now at year 15. Well, when they got the loan 5 years ago, the interest rate was close to zero on that loan. Now, if they want to refinance their mortgage, the interest rate is 8-point-something% from almost zero. So they may not have any profit. They might actually be cash flow negative if they have to refinance. So now Blackstone comes in and says, okay, we buy it for cash. No financing needed. then there's also irrelevant how much the interest rate is. But if they pay cash, you can imagine that they get an amazing price, especially because the current owner is under distress, because when that loan comes due and they need a new loan, then they have to pay that out of pocket because the bank is probably not going to give them a new loan. So they're eager to sell. That's how that works. And Blackstone made a good deal here. That's the message I wanted to get you. But there is something important for us to realize, because what will happen, in my opinion, in the next few years, starting this year, but even more so next year in 2026, is that more and more of the commercial real estate, both office buildings, malls, but also large apartment complexes, will get into distress because they cannot renew their loans. And not always, because there will be a glut on the market, not always will there be a Blackstone to buy. And if you don't find something like a Blackstone to buy your apartment complex, then you're basically bankrupt and you have to let the people go and close the place down. And when that happens, all these people that had been in apartment complexes need to look for other accommodations. And anybody who can afford it will try to move, if at all possible, into our single family home, duplex, triplex, fourplex. So there's a wave coming, and that wave will increase supply and demand for us, mainly demand, which also means rents will not come down. That's the bottom line. Anybody who makes you try to believe that rents will come down in the next few years, delusional. Rents will not come down because I believe in the commercial space, more so in the office space than in the apartment space, but there will be defaults. And when these happen, then the people need another place to live. And some of them will come to us. So it's just a good time to be in residential real estate. And if you're not in it already as an investor, then please go to idealinvestorshow.com, find the button, book a call, and let's have a conversation, because we are in a really, really good situation right now. And it will get better going forward. So if you're hesitant, if you're still waiting, there might come a point in 3 or 4 years, and you might say, oh, 3 or 4 years is long in the future. No, you got to start now, if you really want to take advantage. So please don't wait, get in touch, let's talk about it. I want to help you, and there are great opportunities out there. You just need to take action. So I hope you will. And with that being said, that's it for today. Be well, stay safe, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.